This is COVID-19 Seattle. I'm Dave Ross. When we hear about the COVID infection rate, we sort of think of maybe King County as a whole or even the state as a whole. But as it turns out, the rates of infection can vary widely, depending on neighborhood, in fact. And so we've called up the Seattle Times FYI guy, Gene Balk, and you've written a couple of columns about this. What do the statistics tell you about these hotspots? And is there some reason why there are some places that have a lot of infections within, you know, a King County or even Seattle City area, and those that do not?
Yeah, the hotspots in King County are in South County. The rate of positive tests has declined countywide since the beginning of the pandemic, and it's gotten quite low in certain places in most of Seattle and some other places, but it really hasn't in South County. If you go down to like Kent, Auburn area, about 10 to 12% of the tests are coming back positive still. And the reason for it, there's more than one reason for that. But one is that compared to Seattle, that's a lower income area, and there's just less access to healthcare. And in areas where there's less access to healthcare, people are more likely to only get tested if they're really sick. Whereas maybe in Seattle, which has the highest rate of just people getting tested, folks are more likely to just get tested, you know, even if they may not have symptoms, but you know, they're still getting tested. So that's one reason. Also, South County is a lot more diverse racially than say Seattle, and we've seen much higher rates of the infection in particularly Hispanic people here, but also Black people. So that would be another factor. And then the positive test rates could just correspond to a higher level of infection. That's possible too.
Is there any way to find out which it is? Because it sounds like what you're saying is that part of this may be a statistical artifact, that people who either don't have the time or inclination to get tested, or obviously we're not going to pick up whether they're infected or not, and others who are super cautious and will get tested whether they have symptoms or not, are going to, of course, get tested. They'll come back negative, and so that increases the denominator, and suddenly you have a lower infection rate.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, I wish I had an answer for that. I did, of course, put that question to the public health department, and they basically told me what I told you. You know, they gave the various reasons why the positive test rates could be higher, but I don't know that you can really untangle those reasons.
Yeah. Well, as a statistician yourself, then, what would be the wisest thing to do to get a handle on this and give people some confidence that they're getting accurate information? I mean, it seems to me at some point, shouldn't we have taken a random statistical sample and just given everybody a test, whether they needed it or not, and then, like we do political polling, you know, figure out what the likely infection rate is?
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. Clearly, we need more testing in South King County. And since I wrote these two columns, I've gotten a bunch of emails and calls from people who live in South County who are really dismayed looking at this and are kind of angry, you know, that the county isn't doing more for them, because the disparity is really great. It's even within, you know, the city of Seattle, you have a positive test rate in the last few weeks, you know, in places like Ballard or, you know, other parts of North Seattle, Capitol Hill, that are, you know, below 1% or just barely above. And then, you know, you go down to Del Ridge or Rainier Beach, you know, that area, and it's, you know, it's higher than the county average. It's, you know, over 4%. So, you know, it's a huge difference within the city.
And so people legitimately wonder, why would you have to impose lockdowns citywide if the problem is confined to these areas?
Well, yeah, people have asked that question. But I mean, one reason I wrote, the first column I wrote was I looked at the kind of impact of the pandemic on our communities just since the beginning. I just looked at cumulative data. And then I heard from a bunch of readers who had been looking at the data themselves and said, well, you know, the rates actually come down. King County is you know, if you look at the total rate of positive infections in King County, it's come down quite a bit in the last month. So, you know, that I should have looked at that too. So I did a second column in which and they're right, you know, the overall rate in King County has really come down. But when you look at an average for the county, what it doesn't show you is that there can be huge variation. And that's what we're finding. It is still very high in, you know, in parts of the county. And so, you know, that's really concerning.
So what can we learn from all this? I mean, what most of us are trying to figure out is it safe to go out? just how anal do we have to be about wearing masks all the time? Can businesses safely reopen, or should we continue this modified lockdown, whatever it is? And of course, the ultimate question, is it safe to open schools? So is there any way to tease any of that information out of all these numbers?
Well, you know, I can tell you that the World Health Organization says that you want to see a positive test rate of below 5% before you consider any reopening. And the state's goal is 2%, below 2%. So the county has not met that goal of 2%, even though we're below 5% as a county, even though there are, like I said, areas where it's much, much higher than that right now. So it seems like... you know, I mean, I guess what you could take away from this, that if you live in certain parts of the county, many parts of Seattle, I'm not saying people should be less cautious, but, you know, there's clearly less of a risk than in other parts. I mean, I guess you could take that away from the columns.
So that people who were in a neighborhood with a high infection rate might choose to shop up in Ballard, for example, where there might be less chance of being near someone who was infected?
Well, no, I didn't. I don't think I'd want to make that kind of recommendation. I'm not quite sure how to answer that, Dave, honestly.
Well, I don't blame you, because it's one of those impossible questions. I guess what I'm getting at is I get a lot of frustration from listeners. It ranges from this whole thing is a hoax to... Well, you know, everybody should stay inside and never go out until the last virus is dead. And we get statistics every day. We get death counts every day. The other day I looked up the death rate for coronary heart disease, which nobody even covers, and it's vastly higher than, you know, COVID-19. That's not right. To diminish COVID-19. It's clearly the worst pandemic since the 1918 flu. But at this point, people are tired of the lockdown. They want to get back to business, and they're trying to figure out who to believe and how to conduct themselves. I think just, you know, some assurance that masks really work is would be helpful. And I think we've seen some of that. But when the numbers are all dependent on who voluntarily decides to get tested, it seems to me it's difficult to come to any kind of truly scientific evaluation.
It is confusing. I agree. And like you said, clearly masks, you know, wearing the masks makes a huge difference. And you know, being in open air activities are much safer than indoors. That much we know. One of the issues here is that so many people who become infected are asymptomatic. So that really does add a layer of, you know, complexity and confusion to this. And we know that over the months that the rate of infection has, you know, really increased among young people, the 20 to 40 year olds. And they are, you know, the least likely to show obvious symptoms of the disease. So, you know, it's there aren't really easy answers. That's unfortunate. But, I think, wear your mask. And, you know, I don't know what else to say, Dave.
I get the feeling that you've had some pushback on some of these columns, which and I know you're a numbers guy, so you're not trying to follow any political agenda, and yet I'm guessing there are people who think you are.
Oh yeah, I've definitely gotten that kind of response.
So like what do they say?
Well, I mean, you know, there's the people who just think the whole thing is a hoax, like you said, you've heard from people like that. I get those kind of emails too. And then, you know, I have had people accuse me of, from these last two columns of pushing some kind of agenda. But I'll be honest, I you know, the emails that I've gotten, I haven't really been clear what the agenda is or what the opinion they're saying I'm expressing is. So I ask for some clarity, because when people write to me, whether they're positive or complimenting me on something, or whether they're negative and critical, I always, almost always write back, and I try to engage. And I actually haven't gotten a clear answer as to what it is that people think. I mean, I'm just trying to, I decided to write these columns because, you know, there's tons and tons of data that Seattle Times is, every day puts data out for the state, and, you know, the county data is out there. But I know that the people are kind of interested in their own neighborhood. And so that's why I decided to write these two columns, because, well, that data is available from the public health department. It's, you know, nobody's really put it out there. So that's why I decided to do these columns. The point that seems to me from the columns is just that, you know, things are much, much worse in South County. That just seems to be what, you know, you can take away from it. And that's just an observation.
Yeah.
It's not a.
Make of it what you will.
Yeah.
Gene Block is the FYI guy at the Seattle Times. Gene, thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave.
So there's Gene. And it is frustrating. In the early days of the epidemic, I was getting emails from people who were also following the statistics pretty closely and wanted to point out just what Gene has disclosed in his columns in the Seattle Times, that the infection rate varies wildly from neighborhood to neighborhood. The question is, as I was asking him, that's why I asked him that, what do you do with this information? So if your South Seattle neighborhood has one of the higher infection rates, do you stay inside? Do you still shop in the neighborhood? Or do you look at your map and say, okay, I'll go to one of these areas where the infection rate is lower? You know, there's nothing to stop you from doing that. Whether it's worth the trouble or not, I don't know. And I still, and I ask this in every interview I do with somebody who seems to know about the statistics. When will we just have an actual statistical sampling of the nation tested, or the state? Let's do it state by state. There must be the money for at least a simple, I mean, we spend this money on polling, right, on political polling, trying to figure out what the vote will eventually determine. Why not use those same skills to figure out what the actual infection rate is, say, in the city of Seattle or in the state of Washington, so we can put this in perspective? The one thing, though, that everybody seems to agree on is when you don't know, wear the mask. What can it hurt? And some of them are, frankly, I think I've never looked better than when I've got a mask covering half my face.
You've been listening to COVID-19 Seattle, a daily coronavirus news podcast from Cairo Radio. I'll be back tomorrow with the top stories you need to know about in Washington State.